Hello, welcome to Spotlight, as bright as the sun, though probably not in June.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, it's almost that time of year again. One of the island's longest-running arts festivals, the Mananan, is back with us at the end of next month with its usual wonderful selection. We hear about a Pride film festival in the south of the island. And we're back into the wilds with more from Andy North on his wonderful new wild guide to the island's hidden places. Do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or want to, we'll know it, put in the spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, music, literary, ceramic, sculpture, drag, film, mime, social media, some poetry coming up, all sorts, calligraphy, why not? Loads of others I've forgotten. Main thing is get in contact, howardcain@manxradio.com, that's Kane with an E, or just spotlight@manxradio.com. I get them both, I read them all. I will get back to you, no matter what it might be. Be lovely to feature on the programme, if you've not been here before, no matter how large or small your artistic endeavour might be. So much great art in a small place. How do we do it? Well, the Mananan Festival at the Erin Arts Centre seems to have been going for as long as I can remember. Not far off, actually. It's coming up to its 50th anniversary next year, I believe that is. If I listed all the incredible names who have featured there over the years, it would take up, well, all of this programme and more. This year's festival is no exception. The usual incredibly wide and varied lineup, and it gets underway at the end of June. Well, I dropped down to the Erin Arts Centre in the sun, I'm pleased to say, to get a preview of this year's fest with artistic director Pip Rolfe. But before we got on to the Mananan Festival itself, I asked Pip about a bit of a catch-up, starting with the current art on display in the gallery.
Yeah, we've got a couple of exhibitions in there. We've got another photo exhibition by Vincent Tremaux, who is a French photographer who the exhibition comes just through the One World Centre. It's images of refugees, basically people in exile. But we've also got an exhibition of darkroom created work because we are about to launch our community darkroom as well.
Oh, can you tell us more about that? The community darkroom sounds good.
Well, we inherited basically a load of darkroom equipment from various places, and there seems to be quite a lot of interest in people wanting to develop their own pictures again, or carry on developing their own pictures. And we've just recently got a little bit of space because we got rid of one of the pianos to Peel Cathedral. So we thought, well, why not put the equipment that we've got to good use? So when we've got a bit of sort of a time gap in the auditorium, we're going to have a pop-up dark room. People will be able to come and hire it. There'll be a couple of tutors available. Some of the people who are teaching at UCM at the moment are going to come down. So you'll be able to have a tutor and hire the space and develop some pictures.
Brilliant. I like the sound of that. Must be unique on the island, I think.
I think the launch, is the 30th of May. And basically people will have a chance to come in, look at the space and make a photogram, which is when you put an object on a piece of photographic paper and flash the light and it creates an image. So something we'll be able to generate really quickly and something fun. People can bring a couple of things in and put them on the paper and make a picture.
Terrific. And just finally, the bar area, now it's sort of like a little venue in its own right. I know we sang with the Shanties there a while back. Has that been a sort of a useful bonus to the centre?
Yeah, we have a few events there, and I think that hopefully we that's something I'm looking to really grow. Coming up in there, we've got a couple of poetry gigs, which seem to work really nicely.
It's an ideal spot for the poetry.
Yeah. Ellie Baker, who has just been there, she's one of the artists who's going to be here for the Mananan Festival exhibition, and has just been part of the Six Ways of Seeing exhibition at House of Mananan. Mm. She's doing painting classes in there as well. And obviously we have the mini musicians classes on Thursday mornings. And the community groups use that space as well. So it's getting pretty well used. But again, as a second venue, it's definitely in development.
Excellent. Right, well, you mentioned the Mananan there, and that is coming up rapidly on the rails. One of the island's iconic festivals. I was going to put you on the spot and say, do you know when the first one was? Because I can't remember, but it's been going a few years.
I think the first one was 1975, because this year should be the 50th, but it's next year because of the ones we lost to COVID.
Yeah.
It was either 74 or 75.
And it's amazing. It's been going all those years, I think, started by John and continue over the years. And you only have to look around the walls of the places. The number of, it's like a who's who of classical and jazz players and comedians, God knows what else, who have appeared there over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully we can continue that tradition and add to it.
Well, let's see if we're going to add to it this year, because it looks like a good lineup.
Oh, we've got a fantastic lineup. I was just saying to you before we went on air, sometimes when you're in the middle of all the logistics, you don't actually get a chance to stand back and, you know, and marvel at it, really. But so this year we're opening up with Martin Roscoe and Sophie Rosa. Now, Martin, as most people will know, is an incredible pianist. His rendition of Beethoven's C minor sonata last year was one of my, I wouldn't say unexpected, but it absolutely floored everybody when he played a solo recital last year. Sophie is an incredible fiddle player. And it just came about that they've got this beautiful music program of spring and summer music. So they're playing Beethoven's spring sonata, Vaughan Williams' Lark Ascending, some Clara Schumann romances, and an Elgar sonata. And it just seemed like a really lovely way to start the festival. So that's on the Monday the 30th. Obviously, there's still tickets available for that.
Brilliant, yeah, and a great name, as you say, a great player there. A great start to the festival.
Yeah, and I say, we're not sure how long Martin will keep on playing professionally for. You know, he said that to me last year, and while we've got a player of that calibre available, you know, he's like a Zen master of piano now. And it's just always such a pleasure to have him here. So Tuesday is now, that's become the sort of new Manx work, original Manx work.
Yeah, lovely, man. Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah, which I think going forward is maybe going to be cool. We've just been talking to Brisha Madrill and Ruth Kegan-Gell about it. But I think we're looking to call it maybe Ashlish Noah, which means sort of new vision, new dream.
Yeah, sounding good.
So far we have Jackie Morrie Grace, who has turned her sprawling, incredible epic poem On Ravensdale Hill into a short gothic folk horror film. We're showing a film called In Chalu, which is the calf in Manx, which is, and I quote, a meditation on timelessness and transition, blending original music, field recordings, and visual storytelling to capture the unique heritage and atmosphere of the Calf of Man. And,
I like it. Yeah.
According to Jip, it's the first music to be written and recorded on the calf ever.
I think you might be right. So this Jip again, yeah? So this is...
Yes, indeed.
This, oh, right. So is this all under his name? Or?
No, he's done it under the name of Mule, Mull, or Meal, however people pronounce it. Apparently it's Mule and Manx.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was told. Well, anyway.
I'm not gonna argue.
No, we're like answers. I rate answers on postcards, please. It's him and Duan Madrill and Geoff Whitten at some point decamped to the calf with a load of recording equipment and made this piece of work.
Fantastic. Yeah. What a great... And I'm sure he must be right. I'm fairly certain someone will have played instruments over there before, but I'm not aware of any recordings being made there, so it's that's great, great, very imaginative.
And then we're going to have a Q&A with the artists who are providing the exhibition here for the festival. So that's nearly the same lineup as Six Ways of Seeing. I know we've got Ella McGee and Ellie Baker and Onky and Sally, and I think there's somebody else as well, but yeah, so they're going to be talking about their work. And then we have a new piece by Matthew Warren, who's was basically a new locally composed work called She Rises Dancing, which uses the acoustics of the Arts Centre to blend spoken word, electronic composition together, and through the acoustic of the concert hall itself. So basically the piece is shaped by the shape and sound of the Arts Centre's auditorium, thinking about the ideas of reverberation and echo and all those sounds that you maybe forget surround you. So that's another new original piece of work.
Brilliant. It's so imaginative, that. I mean, there's a great mix of stuff there, and Jackie's stuff is always, I mean, quite, yeah, whatever she pops in her tea, I don't know, but her imagination is just, makes me, mine feel positively mundane.
And to be able to champion all this sort of new Manx work and new disciplines is like a really lovely thing. And if we can turn that into a thing that happens every year, fantastic.
There's always something for everyone at the Mananin. All details online, of course, via the EAC website. Check it out. More from Pip about the second part of Mananin Festival Week here on Spotlight next week.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
We're staying down south, as it happens, as at the end of June, a Pride Film Festival is taking place at Port St Mary Town Hall. Now, film evenings have been taking place at the Town Hall for some time, but following the demise of the Pride Festival a year or two back, it was decided a Pride Film Festival would be an ideal offering during June this year, which, of course, is Pride Month. Michelle Hayward, yes, that one, but in this case wearing her hat as a member of Port St Mary Business Association, told me more.
Well, we've been running a regular film evening down at Port St Mary Town Hall anyway, which is a bit of a different format to your usual cinema format, because you pay for your ticket but you bring your own food and drink. And so we've had everything from people turning up with a can of Coke and a packet of crisps to people bringing a full spread, including seafood platters and all sorts of things and bottles, whatever tipple they want. So it's a different format for cinema because you're seated around tables, you can share your food and drink with your friends or make new friends when you're there. And it's proving to be quite popular.
So a nice social evening. Has the Pride theme been done before, did you say, on a regular basis, or is this something brand new?
No, I think once the Pride Festival kind of fell by the wayside, I've seen a bit of a gap this year. There didn't seem to be very many things organised in respect of Pride Month, and so it kind of timed out with when we would be offering films anyway. So I've expanded from our usual Friday nights to be a Friday, Saturday and Sunday evening.
Okay, so what will be coming up this year?
So we're opening with the film Pride, by coincidence. So that's a really nice, uplifting one. It's a great historical sort of comedy drama, really, and a great feel to it.
So
really
nice. Tied up with the miners.
It's the one tied up with the lesbian and gay activists raising money to help miners' families during the strikes. And then they became the Lesbian and Gay Support the Miners campaign as well. So it's that whole story around that. It's a bit of social history in there as well.
Marvellous. And what's following that one?
Following on from that, we've got Blue Jean, which is about a PE teacher back in the days when the Section 28 legislation came in and banned teachers from talking about anything out of a very narrow definition of what the Tory government at the time decided was acceptable. And she's a PE teacher at a secondary school and trying to live a double life, really, with her partner outside of school and navigate that way inside of school as well.
And is there a screening of No Man Is an Island coming up?
Every single night there is a screening of No Man Is an Island. It's a nice short film, as you well know, and we'll be showing that as our opener each night. So I've been in touch with the directors and we're just getting copies sent over. So that'll show every single night because I think it deserves a wider audience, and then we'll move on to the feature film to follow.
And is that the first time, because I forget now, they're doing a preview and I can't remember whether they did one on the island. Is this the first time it's been screened on the island? Or?
I know they did a preview, you're right. It was on the same night as the Awards for Excellence, so back in November, only at the Broadway Theatre. And it was quite a small group that were invited to go and attend. So I was lucky enough to be there. I think it's fantastic. I think it's very moving and I think it deserves a wider audience. I know it's been released today on the internet, we've got permission to show it as part of the film festival. So that'll be showing every single night, and then we'll move on to our bigger feature.
Splendid, because I haven't got. I'm actually in it briefly for my.
I've seen you in it,
but I haven't seen it myself yet.
No! Well, so you're going to have to come down either the Friday, the Saturday, or the Sunday night, and then Sunday night the feature is Call Me by Your Name. So again, a really nice, uplifting story. I'm hoping that somewhere in there's something for everyone who can come along and join in the fun.
Exactly. And something, when was this your own idea, as you say, after the sort of the Pride festival over here was unfortunately disbanded, was your own idea really just sort of to do something, as you say, to mark Pride Month?
it's partly inspired by seeing No Man Is an Island back in November, realizing that, you know, there was a very small audience that saw that, mostly people who were connected with the film. I'm not sure why you weren't invited, but mostly people who were connected with the film. But it was on the same night as the Awards for Excellence, so it made it a really, really busy night. But I was very conscious that that story is really, really important for the island and really, really important it gets told. And so I was thinking about it over the sort of the Christmas period and the weeks that followed, and thought, well, actually, I've got a format set up here where I've got ticketing and I've got the ability to show films and I've got a license to show films. And why can't I then build something around this? So it started really from wanting to show more Manx films, and in this context, particularly No Man Is an Island, and then built onto, but how do I make it an evening out? Because a half hour or so film is not enough for a night out. But actually, by teaming it up with a feature film to follow on, hopefully that gives people a reason to come down and join in, celebrate with us, and share the food and drink. I love it because I get to go around all the tables, introduce myself, and pick little tidbits from each person's table and layout, you know. a little chocolate here, a little.
Sounds like an excellent idea. And as you say, it's great food for thought in the films themselves. And I think, if nothing else, it shows how far we've come. And maybe thinking about, well, we've come an awfully long way since the scenarios portrayed in No Man Is an Island, but I'm sure there'll be people there saying we still have a journey to go.
I think there is still a journey to go. And I think in some ways, although I've run this around the Pride Film Festival and allowing me to show a series of themed films, actually it's just part of showing films down there on a monthly basis, which is what it's almost normalising that. You know, I've got a format that's quite good to join in with, and I'm just extending it out and doing a bit of a kind of, you know, focus on a particular genre of film.
Obviously, and it will, obviously, all is welcome. Clearly, it's celebrating Pride, but it is something that the family can go along to.
Absolutely, everyone's welcome, as long as we hit the age appropriateness, I think they're all fine. So yeah, everyone's welcome down, and welcome people to come down and join in with us.
And just give us those dates again then, and if people are listening to this and thinking, well, how do I book tickets, how do I go along?
Okay, so the dates are Friday the 27th of June, which is Pride, Saturday the 28th of June, which is Blue Jean, and Sunday the 29th, which is Call Me By Your Name. You can either go to Ticket Source and click on there and look for Portsmouth Business Association. All three events will come up. Or you can go to the Friday Flicks and Food Facebook page, and they're there on as events, and the ticket link is on there as well. So you can click on that link through there.
Flicks and Food, what's not to like? And if it goes well this year, can you see it becoming like a sort of mini Pride Film Festival every year as part of the offering down at Portsmouth Mary?
Absolutely happy to do it. I mean, we you know, try and find reasons to show films that don't normally get, you know, I'm not in competition with the cinemas at all. I'm not showing latest releases. I'm not in competition with the Erin Arts Centre. I'm trying to find, you know, other reasons to show films, and I don't see any reason why this couldn't be extended.
Just before finishing, while we've got Michelle there, coming up this very Friday, as in the day after tomorrow, if you're listening to Spotlight Live this evening, then there is a chance to see the TT Classic of all time. No Limit.
Indeed. No Limit is there. It's its 90th anniversary this year. It always seems to me odd because everyone mentions it every time you get to every TT festival. Somebody says, have you seen No Limit? And it never seems to be on anywhere during the TT festival. So we're putting it on Friday night.
Fantastic. Have you seen No Limit?
I've seen half of it and was rather distracted at the time and then didn't manage to watch all of it. So I'm looking forward to seeing it on Friday night. I'm going to be there watching it. I think I'd watch the bits that involved, because obviously the Mona's Queen ship is in there as a standby for the Manxman, ostensibly, in the film. But I watched it from the historical context of the Mona's Queen being in there, obviously, when I was writing the book about the Mona's Queen. So this kind of comes full circle for me. I get to watch the whole film now.
Brilliant. Don't sit in the back row this time. That's the answer.
Don't sit in the back row. OK. I'll make sure I don't.
Film and food. What's not to like? The mini Pride Film Festival sounds great, doesn't it? I should try and get along as I feature in No Man Is an Island myself, albeit briefly. And let's hope that Pride Film Festival does become a regular event. As for No Limit, well, this might be your only chance to see it on the big screen this year. Can there be anybody who doesn't love the Shuttleworth Snap?
So come along and see me riding in the TT races. Easier than hopscotch, beating all the top-notch aces. I've been riding all my life. I started quite small. I've hear the people cheer me when they see me steering backwards. Down the hill I go at breakneck speed.
Finally, we're back out into the wilds. We heard from adventurer and author Andy North last week about his new book and online resource, Wild Guide Isle of Man, Hidden Places, Great Adventures and the Good Life, from Wild Things Publishing. And whilst Andy was in the studio, I asked him about the timescale he'd put in for the project. How long was it in the making then, from first sort of first rambles out and jotting notes down to the finished article we see now?
We're on three and a half years, I think, so from the conception. But I missed the first deadline. I think I realised that there was going to be a lot of sat down typing, and even, you know, all the introductions and chapter and history and research. So it's one of those things that I did all the fun ones first. Go out, find the spots, photograph, and then I kept photographing, and I realised that I was procrastinating from the bit sitting down. And I feel for people that, you know, if you've got to sit down all day, it's tough. It's a tough job.
Yeah, it is. Mm. It is. I think it's. You need to get out there. Did you find any completely new places for you, or have you now found a favourite spot for you on the Isle of Man for all the wild places you've been exploring over the last two or three years?
I did find lots of new spots, actually. A lot of them, I was particularly interested in some of the, you know, because there is some lovely sacred circles, stone circles and ancient ruins, that, and some I'd just never been to, because they're not that easy to find, and you don't know where to park, and so I think, yeah, a lot of those were quite a shock. And then I did find lots of waterfalls when I went looking, you know, and obviously we kept to footpaths and public access, and so there's lots more, but I haven't put it in the wild guide, unless, you know, you can get there fairly certainly without annoying too many people. But I think if landowners own vast tracts of land, they should just feel like they're the luckiest people alive, you know, to be custodians of that sort of space. And I'm not promoting anyone harming any of the environments, but yes, there's a line where we always have to find the balance between us. We exist in this world, but looking out, you can see what a difference we've made.
If people like to get hold, it's in digital and hard copy as well.
There's even there will be an app coming out shortly as well, so they can download an app for their phone. The Wild Guide, Isle of Man. Well, I know it's going to be in lots of local bookshops and lots of the visitor centre, and obviously it's on Amazon and Waterstones and all of those. So we're going to run lots of events.
And will you be able to go out now? Because I know you'll still be going out walking and doing leading your various groups and working with people and out in the open spaces. Will it be a relief now that you sort of no longer have to get it all documented down and keep taking the pictures? Or
oh yes, it definitely. To go out and not have to take pictures. I mean, it's a lovely way of seeing. But often, I have to take a tripod and get myself in it. Or if I had someone with me, I have to convince them to hold it and press it at this point. So, you know, if you always face that as a kind of lifestyle. Because I used to do landscape photography and it was lovely. But, you know, I quickly realised that, when you get a figure in it, you get the scale, you get the kind of proportions. So it makes it much harder composition, and you've got to have a person, and then they've got to have time to get in the right spot. So it's not easy working with people. So thanks to all the people that have helped and have appeared in the photos.
You can get the app, you can get the download, you can buy the real hard copy, if you like to have a hard copy and have one in your backpack and explore. I think it's a great thing, isn't it, to get people out there exploring the Isle of Man, and that it's true that even though the island's not that big, it's amazing how when you get out into the wilds, you can go somewhere and think, I've never been here before in my life.
Yeah, well, hopefully for the armchair traveller, you know, if you're not heading out, hopefully you'll enjoy the photos and And just seeing what a diverse range of landscapes and places there are. So, yeah, I think even for the seasoned explorer, there's definitely going to be some spots in there that you've not. Because the researchers for the publisher kept saying, I can't find any mention of this online. And I said, that is because there is no mention of this online. We've found quite a few wonderful rock formations. And so we've named a few of those that didn't have a name before. So, we've got a Goblin Rock and a Glashton Water Sprite. There's a few amazing rock formations that are definitely worth a visit.
Marvellous. And if I was to force you under duress to say, right, you know, you wanted to go and have a moment in your own, be in your own space or somewhere, where do you think would be your first place you'd sort of, you'd go off?
Ah, yeah. If I just put autopilot on and just had to just follow my feelings, I think I'd probably end up in a pool near Thalty Will or walking in the forest above it. So, just coming out, one of those hidden villages up above Thalty Will, or the pools down below. There's some fabulous locations there.
That's about it for now. I'll be back next week. We will hear about that new book on the Laxey Mines Railway then. See you soon. Whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Hey, Moo.